Hi, welcome to GamerCast, episode 134. Hi, Madam.
And I'm Paul, and this is GamerCast for the 5th of October, 2008. Which is a Sunday, as it normally is, right?
Yep, and I've just finished having my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Is your birthday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Congrats, dude. What are you now, 35?
No, that old. I am now 28.
28, Jesus Christ, you're knocking on a bit, aren't you?
Yeah.
We need to get some young blood on this podcast. What day is your birthday? Because Chris was yesterday.
Mine was yesterday.
So oh my god.
Same birthday.
4th October.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you had the same birthday as Chris. How freaky is that? Why is this like not small? Oh bollocks. Now that's going to be big for the whole episode.
Never mind.
Oh bollocks. Now I just said bollocks on the podcast.
Bollocks.
Let's minimize it. Does that work? No.
Nope, you're just going to have to put up with it. Put it in the
No, corner. I'm not going to. We're going to stop it. Right, there we go. Hopefully that won't screw up.
Okay, no. So yeah, I got loads of cool things.
I ain't give a fuck.
For my birthday, got a new mouse which I'm going to talk about, and some money which I bought my keyboard with. I got some Indiana Jones Lego. I got a
the game.
No.
Actual Lego.
I got a book on animation and modeling from Maya. What else did I get? Oh, I got a new armored sleeve for my MacBook. So it's like a bag for my MacBook, but you slide it in like an open-ended envelope, which means that the armor allows you to put that inside a standard bag, and all of a sudden you've got that. You know, like you open up a laptop bag, excuse me, and you've got that little sleeve to shove your laptop inside that rucksack or whatever.
Mm.
And it means that all of a sudden that's the bag you have to take everywhere if you ever want to take your laptop with you.
You see that tablet PC behind you?
Yeah.
That doesn't need any armor protection because the case is reinforced.
Yeah.
Although I've never dropped this, so it's
really I would want to test mine considering mine's made out of aluminium, but
well, no, that is designed to withstand drops of, like a meter and a bit onto carpet.
Because you're more likely to be walking around with it in your arm, aren't you?
Damage at all.
Because a tablet PC is more likely...
I was actually watching a video of like the tests they did, because they were up on... Somebody posted something
on
YouTube.
You're more likely to hold it like a clipboard and start writing with it because of its uses, so there's a higher chance for someone to drop that, because no one's going to be walking around with a notebook and actually try to use it. Well, yeah. But...
that's a tablet PC, man. It's designed to be mobile.
Yeah. Mobile and
Well, mobile usually consists of either sitting on the sofa downstairs and having it on my, you know, my lap, or lying on my back on the bed and just like having it like that. So, you know, it's really mobile.
But yeah, the good thing about this is it's not the most nice looking laptop bags, but...
See this? This is a memory card holder.
The good thing is it means
it's armor protection for a memory card.
I can put my MacBook in my bike rucksack.
Look, this one actually has a memory card in it.
Yeah.
Actually, that's an adapter.
So, it means that I can actually... take my MacBook wherever I want on my bike.
Is this actual memory card? No, that's another adapter.
For your phone, or the old phone.
That's a micro SD adapter, even though I've only got one micro SD card, and this is a micro SD adapter as well.
Got some DVDs as well. Got a Japanese anime TV series called Gaiver. I got Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Is that any good? Because I recorded the whole lot when it was on television, and I never got around to watching it.
I quite like it. I like the fact that it starts with...
I like the Terminator thing, so, you know...
I like it because it's got nothing to do about the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger thing and
good,
stuff like
we don't
that.
Need that goofy twat on it.
And it actually does make an attempt and succeeds slightly on making Terminator 3 better, because it plays around with some of the weird things that happen in Terminator 3. And it's like Terminator 3 was going to exist, but this one is kind of saying it's not going to exist anymore, or something like that. There's a really weird twist in it. Like,
the twist is the Terminator is really Jesus.
So it does make it seem quite good. I'm quite happy with it. So I bought that on Blu-ray.
What?
Well,
slap. How much did you pay for that?
I didn't. I got it for my birthday.
How much did whoever got it for you pay for it?
Don't know. And I got Batman Gotham Knights, which is like the, you know, after the Matrix. You know, you got the box set of the Matrix.
Yes.
And it's got the Animatrix inside.
Has it?
Yeah, there's an extra film.
Mine's got the Animatrix. Really? Cool.
I think yours should have the Animatrix, unless it's... Is it only three DVDs in there? Or is it like a load of them in there? Is it the complete box set with 9 discs?
I don't know.
Yours might have the Animatrix, and the Animatrix was a...
Animated Matrix.
It was an animated cartoon of the Matrix, and it was 9 short animations done by different directors in different animation styles. And this is the same. This is this, cartoons of Batman done by the same people who did Batman Begins and Dark Knight, and goes in between the two, and it's like 6 cartoons. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it tonight when I get back. So yeah, that was cool. And a load of bits and bobs and stuff like that. A chicken with a laser for a head as a keyring. That was quite cool.
Okay, it sounds good.
It's a little plastic chicken keyring. You push a button, its head flips open, there's a laser. It's for finding the keyhole for your keys. And other random bits and bobs, which is pretty cool. So I had a good birthday. I spent all day at Diggerland, which anybody who doesn't know what Diggerland is, it's a theme park full of JCB diggers. So I spent the afternoon sat in a full-size JCB digger, digging a hole in the floor. It was great. Then I had to go in a 4x4 forklift, which drives like a tank, and you got these little joysticks, and I'm driving it through mud and going all over a field. It was great. Loved it. Even had to go in a dumper truck.
It does sound like it's up your street, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big kid's playground.
Yeah, it was fun. Got all muddy.
He got rid of his plastic toys and got real ones.
Yeah. I'm in a 70,000-pound JCB digger with a massive big hydraulic spade. And I'm digging holes. I got so bored of digging holes because all these kids are there. Oh, look, Daddy, I can dig dirt from there and I can move it over there. And I'm like...
Rats, noob.
And I'm like, hang on, I'm doing the same thing with your kids. Right, let's do something. I dig a hole here. Whoosh, make a pile. Dig a hole here. Boom. Right, turn the bucket upside down. And I'm making the entire digger jump backwards and forwards as I'm slamming this bucket onto the top of this mud. And I just made this mud statue and it got piled as high as I could. Just left it. So there's this massive column of mud next to mine, and all the kids have got is a hole with dirt either side. And I was like, yeah.
In your face, noobs.
But no, that was cool. Right, let's get the show going.
Of course, it was my birthday on last Monday. And nobody says happy birthday in these.
So. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Right. Letters. Since I've imagined you've finished talking about all your goofy
birthday
stuff. Right. We had 2 rather strange letters.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is actually from a bloke on the forums called... I don't know. Hang on a minute.
It'll come to you.
Jet Andre. I think this is the same guy. In his first letter, he says, what? And in the second one, he says, hello, I am Steve. That sounds like Jet Andre, I think. So yeah, we know it's you. Stop being a goofy twat and spamming my flipping blog. Right. Let's crack on with some news. Oh crap, we didn't actually look up any news. Oh look, Germany acts to guarantee savings. Oh, that's interesting. Oh my god, look at this. That stupid Sarah Palin is saying Obama is a terrorist. US Republican Vice President Barack Obama associating with terrorists. How can they say anything? That's so ridiculous. She said he had been palling around with an ex-member of US-based militant group Weather Underground, which opposed the Vietnam War in the 1960s. God forbid! God, who are these people? Yeah, so our American listeners, anybody who votes for that goofy twat McCain and the creationist retard, Palin is a retard.
Sometimes I actually think the Americans are just as bad as bloody terrorists.
Honestly, how can you say, you know, Weather Underground, did they do any terrorist activities? No. They just opposed the Vietnam War. I opposed the Vietnam War as well. Am I a terrorist? No. There's nothing wrong with opposing the Vietnam War. Because the bottom line is, if those people had been listened to, the Americans would not have faced an embarrassing defeat. Mm. But no. We want to go in there and we want to fight the Vietnamese on their home soil. when they're obviously very determined to get rid of us. So yeah, what a jerk. Who are these people? Yeah, what else is in the news? How about maybe something gaming related? Let's look in tech.
Game.
China spying on Skype messages? Boohoo. Obama uses iPhone to win support. Nokia touchscreen music phone. Oh, do you see this? Nokia have a phone where you pay 120 quid and you can download as much music as you want. Apparently all the UK carriers are boycotting it. Oh, well. So yeah, that's cool.
I must admit, at some point, I've got to sit down and actually go onto my PC and transfer all my favourites across.
Your bookmarks?
Yeah. Because I can't remember what the address is for the one that I normally go on to have a look at some of the new games that are out.
We almost forgot this. The new flipping Nintendo DS was announced this week, wasn't it?
Was it? I missed this. I know we were talking about that they're going to bring one out, but...
Yeah. It's going to be called the DSi.
Okay.
It's going to lose the Game Boy Advance slot. Who cares?
Might as well.
Nobody ever uses it anymore.
Yeah, I have DS games which I play on. I must admit, I'll be annoyed because I won't be able to have those DS games with me anymore, but... Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be out in Japan by the end of the year, but there's no date for the UK launch, other than the rumour, which will be, like, springtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit thinner than the current model, bigger screen, although not massively bigger, but it is a bit bigger.
Mm.
It's got a memory card slot in it, an SD memory card slot, so if you want to, like, put videos or pictures or something, you can view it on the DS. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Not bad if you've got a camera, dead batteries, you just finished taking those pictures on something, you can take the SD card out, shove it in your DS, and you can show your mates or something.
Yep, DS also has two cameras on board.
Okay.
It's got one on the outside there, and one on the inside lid. Let's actually see if we can find some pictures to show Adam, because he hasn't seen it, has he? Nintendo DSi. There we go, that's a bit better. So it's got a little camera there, a little camera there. I'm not sure off the top of my head. Oh, power button's there now as well. Okay. Move the power button. It's going to be launching in white and black. So yeah, it can download games, take pictures, play music, all that sort of stuff. What's the cameras like? Well, I don't expect the cameras are very good.
But it does take pictures.
But yeah, I mean, phone quality, you know.
Yeah.
Low-end phones, that is. So that's kind of cool. So they're really trying to, like, compete a bit more with the PSP in that respect. Of having, being able to look at pictures and stuff, which is fair enough.
Yeah. Especially with one of the new features that has nothing to do with the PSP owner.
Is that stereo speakers now?
I think they had that beforehand.
Oh, well, they've got these funny grooves here now. Maybe the sound's a bit better.
Three LED lights instead of one LED light, so you've got power, I imagine, there's like
a memory card reading.
Yeah,
and writing, light and light.
Something like that. Yeah, which is pretty cool.
You can download a web browser for it as well. So, interesting idea. It's not
people have been putting all these bolt-ons, like the card reader and the internet and everything like that, were all those bolt-ons that you slide into the GBA advanced slot. And there were people who were making these peripherals for them to say, right, well, the next DS will have these built in. Because it's built in, it means people who are making games for it now will probably take advantage of the internal camera and stuff like that.
What's really interesting, though, memory card slot, how long until we can load custom ROMs on it?
Hmm. Yeah.
Have your whole Game Boy Advance catalogue on a single ROM. I mean, it obviously won't work out of the box, because I imagine the internet would stop that, but, you know, you might be able to put some executable code on the memory card and have the Nintendo DS load it, like, as it does automatically or something.
Yeah.
Depending on how the DS handles it.
So you might be able to get those sort of ROMs on there, considering that...
Well, obviously, that's just rumour now.
People are already doing it with the PSP, and it's a big thing to hack your PSP. With custom firmware that allows you to have your loading screen and your UI completely change. Like, I've seen one that as soon as a PSP thing comes up, you hear that original noise, you hear the gling, but it's literally, as soon as you hear the gling, you get the of, like, liquid being splattered against the wall, and this squadge of blood hits the PSP logo and drips off it, and it all changes. And I've seen people have done all sorts of stuff to things. So it's opening the wall to allow people to free the DS up if it's possible to hack it, sort of thing, and firmware it up and allow you to put different ROMs on it, because it's a nice bit of kit. I like my DS.
It's Japanese price is £100, well, about £102 it works out as. So if they launch by spring, might go for 100, they might go for like 120 or 130.
Reasonable price. They're all their consoles have always been, apart from the earlier on days, have always been keeping pricing around about £100 as they come out, and then prices come down. I haven't bought anything for my DS in ages. The last thing I got was that Donkey Kong game where you've Mario and Donkey Kongs and they're wind-up toys moving along.
Well, the thing with a DS is the games are £30. Yeah. And that just seems outrageously expensive. This game, it takes 1/100th the time it takes to develop an Xbox 360, PS3 or PC game, yet they try and sell it for £30. Mm. And it's like, maybe if it was a fiver...
Where if you look at the Game Boy Advance, it was £25, £23.
Well, even the Game Boy Advance were expensive for what the games are. The amount of actually, especially considering the...
They were SNES quality. They were always SNES and Mega Drive quality, hence the fact that so many games from those days were ported across. So easily done.
So yeah, but it's not many people are being too excited about it.
I think the reason why is... I think they were hoping that... The DS would take over the Game Boy Advance SP place, because they still make the odd Game Boy Advance game, and I think they were hoping that the DS would step down and take that side plate, and the new DS would be not compatible. I think people were hoping that you would have a games console that had a DS slot and the new, say it's called the DSi, a DSi slot. So that, like the Game Boy Advance DS compatibility, they were hoping for a new console, new graphics, better looking, but it isn't. It's a new console, not new, better graphics. It is exactly the same. So I think that's probably why people are not getting too crazy about it. It's a new DS, but it's no different from when they went from the DS to the DS Lite. Now you've gone from the DS Lite.
It's the same platform, different model.
Yeah. So,
Well, the thing is, they bring it out, perfect excuse not to drop the price. Look, we've got a new one, similar price, all these new features.
Yeah.
It's a standard way of keeping the price low, just adding extra
things. And you'll get a lot of people you'll get a lot of people buying DSs, because the market will be flooded with second-hand DSs, so there'll be a load out there that are cheap, so people can go get hold of those. As well as the fact that... Oh, yeah, the screen is a hell of a lot bigger, isn't it?
What? It's like 5-10% bigger.
It's making that extra jump. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There, you had the power and the Wi-Fi, so now you've got power, Wi-Fi, and something that looks like a mains plug. So I don't know if that means it's on charge or what.
Meh.
I do like the fact the power button's inside, although I always used to like the fact that I could turn mine on while it was closed, and I could turn it on in a sleep mode, and then I would open it up. Yeah, the speakers were either side there, and a slit speakers.
Yeah, they were like six little holes both sides of the screen, but now they're just like little slits.
Yeah.
Woo.
I think they have to push hard, because the PSP is getting a lot of use with the connection with the PS3 lately, because PS3's latest toy that came out, which is no use for me, to be honest, I like the idea of it, is basically that digital TV box has come out that allows you to...
For the PS3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is quite good for that, the 14-year-old who's upstairs, has normal analog TV, his dad's got the preview box or whatever downstairs, hasn't got hold of one, he can get hold of this, hook it up. He can watch digital TV through his PS3. He can record it onto the hard drive. But the advantage is everything that he records or anything he wants to watch, he can do it off the remote play off the PSP. So if he's over his mate's house, he's got internet, he can, as long as he can access the Wi-Fi through his PSP, he can watch digital TV on his PSP via remotely off the PS3 over the internet. Or record or something.
In real life, no.
In real life, no.
You won't be able to do it. There's not enough upstream bandwidth, is there? Nowhere near enough. Can you imagine trying to stream video over an ADSL connection? Like, up?
Hmm.
It's not going to happen. Not in this country until we get the bandwidth up. Yeah. I mean, the PS3 can re-encode the video and push out a lower quality stream, but you might as well not bother. You might as well just watch YouTube, because it'll be better quality. And plus, to do that, PS3 would need to be on. Like, fully on. With all its CPUs hammering out and re-encoding the video.
Yeah.
So
well, it turns itself on. When you hit remote access, it powers up completely. When you tell it, you send a signal.
It powers up completely just to do that?
Yeah, I've done
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
I've sat in the bedroom with it
set
up.
What a waste of electricity.
So it's completely turned off. And
well, no, it's in standby.
Yeah, it's in standby mode. And when it receives a signal kicking it up the arse through the
so
internet,
for it to send content to a PSP, it needs to be fully powered up.
It powers up. It does, no content is sent to the screen. If you actually go to the screen, it says
fully powered up. Oh my God, dude, that's like an electricity bill of £10 an hour.
Yeah, there is that disadvantage. Another thing that's rumored to be putting out, which obviously will not work in the UK, as Paul has said, is rumored that they're changing the coding for Blu-ray on PS3. So the
what do you mean changing the coding for?
Well, what they mean is they're going to be able to not the code for the Blu-ray code, but the code for the Blu-ray player. What it will mean is they will be able to rip Blu-ray on a PS3, so you'll be able to rip a movie straight onto the hard drive and watch it off the hard drive and not off the disc.
Question. Why?
The reason why is you can't access the Blu-ray or DVD drive on remote. So they wanted to be able to access so that you could sit there in your living room and watch
that
a Blu-ray.
That is so unpractical. I mean, the thing is, if you've got a server, terabytes of storage, you can realistically put your whole film collection on it.
Yeah.
Stream it over the internet. You can use something like Direct2Go or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Well, not that, but it's something or other. To stream to anything you want. And the server will run the software to re-encode it on the fly, which does result in shit quality. But honestly, you spend 3 hours putting this Blu-ray film on the hard drive, and then you spend an hour watching it at crap quality. And it's like, was that really worth it?
So
because the thing is, especially
it.
Because you'll only be able to fit like two or three on there, unless they re-encode the video while it's doing it, in which case it'll take like 6 hours to do it.
Because the Blu-ray, people are taking advantage of the size of it. First thing I thought was, I will have to plug in an external hard drive to be able to do that. Yeah, I'm curious how it's going to work. The only thing that I'd like about it would be if I could plug in an external drive and it would let me rip straight to the extra drive. It'd be nice for the fact that I could put loads of discs on the drive.
It's kind of pointless, to be honest.
I could watch them from the drive and not watch them from the disc.
So I take it with DRM, so you couldn't plug this external drive into a PC and just watch them on there as well.
I don't know. It's still one.
It is Sony, and you know I don't think they'd be that open. Because if you could do that, then that'd be good. Which, you know, if you've got PS3, you've got a Blu-ray ripper right there.
Yeah.
And you don't need to go and download some software on the PC, which is illegal.
Yeah,
Sony would DRM it because there's no way they could do it otherwise. Because otherwise they'd be up against the Millennium Copyright Act, wouldn't they?
Mm.
Like all the people who have Blu-ray rippers already have.
Or the easiest thing would be to stop you actually being able to rip straight to portable, and you'd have to just rip to your standard hard drive inside. Then it wouldn't matter.
And then maybe even put the disc in the drive ready. I don't know. Anyway, it's a pointless feature, to be honest.
Mm.
You know, who would want all their content on a box under the TV? It's not safe there. It's a proprietary machine. You can't easily get at it.
Mm.
It'd be in a funny format. It would be DRM'd, and it's like, I don't want it on that. I want it on my computer where I can edit it and do all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, DSi and whatever you just said about that. Next up, FIFA 09 is out.
Yeah,
apparently this is epic.
Yeah, and Pro Evolution 9 demo is out and available.
Yep, that's on Live Marketplace and PS3 Download Shop, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
What do they call it?
I can't remember.
PS3 Store?
Yeah.
PlayStation Store?
I think it's the
Sony Store?
I think it's called the PlayStation Store.
Okay.
I don't think it's anything specific PS3 because it sells PS1, PSP, and PlayStation 3 content.
Yeah, 09, the reviews are actually quite positive about it. They say it's up there with Pro Evo in terms of gameplay. And from seeing it running, the animation in it is a big improvement over previous versions. There are actually times when, you know, the animation looked, yeah, wow, that's actually believable animation. Where instead of it's like previous animation. So that looks interesting. You might want to get that if you like FIFA. Adam has bought a new keyboard and mouse. He can talk about those now.
Yeah, I got a mouse for my birthday and bought a new keyboard with my birthday money. So yeah, I got...
It was a Mighty Mouse, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mighty Mouse.
Stupid bug. You can get so much better mice. So much better. So much cheaper. And look, I'll even spray paint it white. With the Tupperware, like, plastic shiny finish.
I quite like it. It fits in that nice kindness. I did play with it a lot, and I did research on a lot of other mice. I had a look at some other ones, and...
I'm going to get the Habu gaming mouse. Habu. I guess that's how you pronounce it. H-A-B-U. Habu.
With the blue light.
Which can be turned off.
It'd be cool if you got hold of that gaming pad like I got, the Belkin one.
Oh, fuck off.
You could have everything illuminated blue. It'd be great.
Yeah, until my computer wakes up at 7 o'clock to do its backup and wakes me up with all its lights coming out of it.
All you need is the Wii up here as well at the same time. Strobing blue disco.
The ultimate way of waking somebody up, having these lights blast everywhere.
So yeah, the mouse is really cool. It's running under similar technology to the...
Is it an optical mouse? Or is it a laser mouse?
Laser is the better one, isn't it?
Can you see the beam?
No.
It's laser then.
Yeah. Previous one was optical that I was originally using.
Well, I mean, they say laser. It's still optical. It's just a frequency outside of our visual range. Let's just look at it and see if I can get radiation poisoning in my eyes.
Yeah, don't.
Hi, Craig.
Come back,
Craig. Chris, is that Chris? Oh, it's just Adam right here.
We'll be holding up on
the
show.
Yeah, Chris isn't here today, because if he was going to be on the GamerCast Super Podcast, he would have to walk home. And he was like, no, I ain't walking home. He only takes 15 minutes. I don't know what his problem is. Oh, apparently he subscribed, though, so I better watch out what I say about him, because he'll probably find out about it. So yeah, he said he had loads of stuff to talk about as well, you know.
No, we'll have to wait till next week.
It's probably all World of Warcraft stuff. There was a really funny picture he showed me of a warlock in level 70 epic, fully epic gear. It was like a drawing rather than like a screenshot. And then what it looked like at level 71 with all the green crap from Wrath of the Lich King. It's hilarious, but I just tried to find it and I can't. Google has failed. Maybe I should try live search.
You look for that, Carolyn.
Yeah, talk about your stupid mouse.
Yeah, the mouse is pretty good. I heard a few people go on about the fact they had an issue with the wheelie ball on it, collecting dust and stuff like that.
Oh, what, the silly ball in the middle?
Yeah.
That's silly. You see this, dude? This is a scroll wheel. Actually, is this one of the ones which are...
Tilts.
Because my old ones are all tilts, but I don't think this one is. No. Oh, yeah. No. No, that's a middle mouse button click. Yeah, because this is a gaming mouse, so...
Yeah.
I'll get the box out of all my old mice, which have died.
So I quite like it. There's a cover that goes over the laser underneath. So when you flick that across, it kills the mouse and it goes completely to sleep and doesn't work anymore.
What was that? The cover.
Yeah, there's a little switch, and when you slide it over the optical window, no matter what you do, it won't wake up. So you can put it in your bag, and it will go wherever you want. You're not going to wear the batteries down.
Oh, yeah, it's wireless, isn't it?
Yeah, it's running off Bluetooth. I quite like it. A few people couldn't get their head around it because...
Okay, bro.
It is a wireless version of the standard mouse that comes with any Mac. Mac mice always used to be one button. This is still a one button mouse where it's just the whole thing clicks down. To all of the old mice, it would just, the shell would click down. And a lot of people,
like this one, where it's a single piece of plastic.
Yeah.
Although it's like two.
It's where it's split in. Well, this is just the whole shell clicks down while you're using it. But there's the sensors are inside the plastic, like on the touchpad, actually knows where your fingers are on it. So,
like with my phone, where it knows where my fingers are.
Yeah. So when you click it down, if you take your finger away, it can tell which button.
Oh yeah, because that was the whole thing with it, where it does a really funny thing, and it depends which.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people were like,
"Ugh." A lot of people didn't like it because they actually thought it was a real button. It's not. The whole shell just clicks down, and it's paying attention to where your fingers are. You can also squeeze it as well, which gives you another option. So I've gone in and reprogrammed it all. So now that if I put it down and I'm touching the wheel, it brings up my dashboard thing, which is all my little gadgets and stuff, widgets.
What do they call it? Expose or whatever it is?
No, it's... I can't remember. It's basically one of my widgets, aren't my gadgets.
So it just shows up the wallpaper.
Gadget. Yeah, so it comes over the top and I can get hold of a calendar or calculator or whatever ones I put up there, because it's... same as the Vista one, where you pick what you want. If I squeeze it, it brings up spaces, which allows me to jump from one space workstation to another.
Do you call it a desktop?
Okay, one desktop to another.
In Linux land, we call it desktop.
From one desktop to another.
Or do we? I don't know. I can't remember. This Ubuntu was so shit, I just abandoned it.
Ubuntu? That just reminds me of Giants.
Ubuntu. So African is some African language. It probably means hello or something.
So yeah.
Whatever it is, it's really lame and it's a really crap Linux distro and everyone should stop using it, and that stupid Mark Shuttleworth needs to be punched in his stupid head.
Exactly.
He's got this really annoying gap in his teeth as well. It's like, smack!
Wait, what? You want to get like polyfill and fill it up?
Yeah, and he's one of those assholes who pay the stupid Russian space agency who should be slapped around the head for sending these noobs up into space.
So yeah, mouse is pretty good. Keyboard bought today.
What keyboard is it?
It's the wireless Mac keyboard. So it's an aluminium keyboard with white keys. It's about that thick.
Oh, that thin one, isn't it?
Yeah, with the roll at the end where the batteries go in that you hold that raises it up. I like it just for the fact it's quite small. I can get it where I want it to. The reason is I have a sliding drawer at the bottom with a sheet of glass at the top that's got my MacBook and all my stuff sat on top. And I was having... it's quite... not much area because I'm dual screening with a 24-inch monitor. So, as Paul is holding it at the time... don't knock it over. And then I have to stretch my arms... I have to stretch my arms out to use...
oh no, I've broken it. I'll do that one day and the thing will fall off the stand.
Use the keyboard and stuff.
And then it will break and be the perfect reason to get two of them. Because I don't want to get two and have the other one look different. Oh my god, I've really screwed that up. I don't like that.
No, wait. What you want to do is you want to break that one.
Why?
Well, if you break that one, then you've got an excuse to put that one over there and buy another one. So you've got a 24-inch over there and a 24-inch here. And then you go, couple of months later, I've got extra money, so I'll buy another one to go with mine.
I don't really want to spend £700 on some new monitors, to be honest. I don't really want to spend that much. What am I looking for? Keyboards.
Yeah. So, it's the same. A lot of people look at it and go, ooh, it's a bit small, because the standard keyboard that comes with like iMacs and Mac Pros has the numpad on the end, where this doesn't have a numpad. But the actual keyboard is actually the same size as a MacBook Pro and the MacBooks. So it's exactly the same.
Oh my god, here's that stupid mouse.
So I quite like it. It's quite a nice thing. So it's got one button on the side to turn it on and off.
Look at it.
Yeah, it's really weird where you put the weights in.
It looks like a futuristic racing car or something. This is the Microsoft Sidewinder X5 we're looking at.
Yeah, I had a look at this in PC World, and it comes with like a whole weight
set.
There's
the Habu one. I have to see what size it is, because it looks like a bit bigger than this one. Because this is a bit, small.
What features does it have?
I don't really care about the features. It's got two buttons and a mouse wheel.
Customizable buttons. Does it have extra buttons?
Of course it does. It's a gaming mouse.
The blue one. So you can find it in the dark. Get your hand back onto the mouse quick enough before you get shot. You don't want to get fragged.
Fragged? I don't get fragged, you new boy. I'm dinning down. I'm epic.
Epic. So yeah, the keyboard's quite nice. The advantage to it, because it's quite small,
it means, my god, what is this?
One of the things I'm going to be doing, that dual customizing for work and play.
Oh my god, you can actually take that off and put it on either end.
See,
I really don't like these stupid gaming branded things because it looks so crap. The Habu isn't too bad, but this Sidewinder thing, it's... Ooh, keyboard.
But yeah, the idea was I was going to be able to use that keyboard to type with, and I can use my gaming pad.
Oh my god, Hammer looks like a sort of toilet seat sort of shape, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a bit bizarre.
Let's go back to non-gaming keyboards, shall we?
So yeah, I was going to have my gamepad on one side, my mouse on the other, and my keyboard for typing, so I could play like WoW and stuff in my beanbag on the 42.
Wow, you've abandoned Warhammer, have you?
No.
Oh, damn. Damn you and your Warhammer game. Oh my god, is that all the keyboards they're showing me? Or am I still gaming keyboards? Still, I just want normal keyboards.
Keyboards.
I'm just looking at keyboards, don't worry.
Basically, Paul wants a new keyboard. So yeah, this
they have released a new ergonomic one. That's a wireless one. I'm not having that.
Click on it, have a look.
It looks like the same thing, only wireless and with a mouse.
With a weird mouse. A you will be right-handed mouse. Okay, yeah, that's pretty bizarre.
It's a funny looking mouse as well.
It looks exactly the same as yours.
It's just wireless, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's my one there.
And that's my one there, the Naturals keyboard elite.
Old school.
Which is now leaning against my tower, because I'm going to use my PC. Well, I still have to use it. I'm forced to use it by the fact that I need it for my scanner, because I have the crappiest scanner in the world, which seems to be that if you do manage to get the drivers written for it, seems to screw up Macs, so it's a really odd
one. There's something wrong with the Mac, is there?
No, it's not wrong with the drivers.
Oh, really? That's what we were saying all along, but you said, no, it's Microsoft's fault. So it doesn't all work on Windows Vista?
No, I've not tried it with Windows Vista.
Plug it in. See what happens.
I'm just not in the mood to have to keep going backwards and forwards on operating systems
just
for a scanner.
Just plug it in.
Not one time.
That's a funky sort of looking keyboard. I don't like the sort of weird, I don't like that.
So yeah, quite happy with that. It's nice to be wireless and small because I can just pack it all up and relocate if I need to. So I'm all portable. It's great. What else was I going to talk about while you're Googling at Zoom?
I'm not Googling it. I was live searching it. Actually, I was live searching for Warlock level 70, but I got distracted by looking at keyboards.
Go back to the notes, man. Right.
We were going to talk about Wipeout and Burnout for a download on PlayStation Store.
Yeah. Notice these around. These came out on the 25th of last month. I hadn't been on the PlayStation for a little while, so I had a little look to see what had come out new. And this new Pre-Evolution 09 demo is out. They've also got Mega Man 9 full game for download. Although it was a bit pricey for what I'd want to pay for it. But there was a demo, so you could have a go and see if it was worth the money. But yeah, $24.99 for
Burnout
Paradise. I don't know how much is retailing at the moment, whether that's a good price or just nip on a player or the game website and see how much Burnout is actually.
Oh, dude.
Come on, do some work.
I'm doing work. I have to put a view hogging half my computer. What am I looking for? Burnout on PlayStation 3.
Yeah. Burnout.
Which one?
Paradise.
£30 on 360. It's £35 on PS3.
Yeah, so you're...
Help!
You're saving yourself a tenner by having on digital download. Yeah, I prefer it to be a smidge bit cheaper. But, fair enough. But yeah.
How much was it?
$24.99.
Oh, so it's only like 10... Well, it's 10 quid cheaper. It's not too bad, is it?
Yeah. It's 10 quid cheaper and you don't need to have the disc in to play it. as long as you've got the hard drive space, that's fine. But yeah, Wipeout HD is now out, which I think I might get for the PlayStation 3.
Wipeout's good, £10 bargain.
Yeah, $11.99.
I like Wipeout. Xbox 360 needs another Wipeout clone.
Yeah. So yeah, I really do like Wipeout. It is the reason why I own a PSP, because I just like that game. It's just so good to play when I...
PSP version was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Took me a while to get into the new one when I did... back ago, I did my review on the new one.
It's only 6 tracks on PS3, isn't it? Is it 6?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure that the a lot...
Well, 6, and they're also... They run backwards as well.
Yeah. There's bound to be more stuff coming out on download, because when Warhawk came out, it didn't last very long in retail before.
Uh-oh.
It was just something that you could download.
I thought Soundforge was going to explode then, because I dragged this damn installer onto it. It just like hung there for a second. I was like, uh-oh.
So yeah, Warhawk,
hey, let's check out my blog.
Warhawk has got loads and loads of expansions that have come out that you can buy for like £4.
Oh, look, here's Cameron.
So, I'm...
Recognise the bloke in the picture?
Hang on, I'm going to have to stand. No.
It's that bloke from Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, you were saying? Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you all the time.
Yeah.
I'll look at these search results. What is a communist country? Vista Business.
I completely lost my thinking.
You were talking about Warhawk and
yes.
Wipeout and...
Yes. So there's plenty of expansion packs of Warhawk coming out. So I imagine that Wipeout HD will hopefully get the same thing, where they'll be pushing more content out to download. So for that price, bargain, whiz around some tracks, pretty cool. Like that. So yeah, that's all I've got to say about that. Check it out. Looks cool. What's next? Oh, is that another one?
Didn't I talk about this last week?
No, you didn't talk about this.
Oh, this is the HTC Touch HD.
HD.
Although it obviously isn't HD. It's an 800 by 480 screen.
So it's a bigger screen.
It's widescreen. Plus, it's a 3.8 inch screen, so it's bigger screen than the iPhone. Although the actual unit is a tad smaller than the iPhone. But it's no good for gaming, because you've lost the four-way directional pad, which these have. Mm. But the advantage is, with the weather page, you can fit in these on the same screen. Because before, you had to click a button here, and it would show you in another window.
Right.
So yeah, that's coming out in November sort of time. No keyboard, so it's not really up my street.
No.
But it does have a 5-megapixel camera, which is quite good. Hey look, here's my phone. Yes, my phone runs Warcraft 2. Does yours? It could, if Apple would let him write something for it. Right, let's... shall we move on?
Yes, let's move on.
Because you... This is all what Adam's bought today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you've also got a new Wacom tablet.
Yeah, I've gone on about Wacom tablets before.
Oh, yeah. Dudes, seriously, I will do my thing soon. Just hang in there.
Basically, I decided not to go for the £800 Wacom Cintiq 12-inch.
Didn't you? Oh, what a shame.
Bit too expensive. So, basically, I've gone for the same size, but I've gone
Does
for...
Does your
the...
Mac do this?
Right, can I continue?
Oh, sorry. I'll close this down so I stop getting distracted.
Yeah. It's I've gone for this... The Intros one, Intros 3.
Urge to kill the rising.
So it's gone for.
How much was it?
It was £260. It's a professional bit of kit though.
It's got a felt tip pen and you can draw on it and have a smiley face.
I went for the A5 size instead of going for A4. But it's the
A5. White, that's so small, isn't it?
Yeah, A5 piece of paper, but it's widescreen. So the A5 is like that, but this...
I'm sick and fed up of all these whites. Widescreen is good if you're like that. But there's a lot of tablet PCs now which are widescreen. I refuse to have a widescreen tablet PC, because I use it both ways. If I have a widescreen up that way, it looks stupid.
Well, that's the thing. It works brilliantly with my 24-inch. So, yeah, I would say the drawing area is about that big. Rough estimate. The tablet is about that by that. It's got touch buttons either side for lefties and righties. They're pre-programmed up, but you can go in and change them what you want. And a touch-sensitive miniature mouse trackpad for just going up and down for zooming in and out.
I could zoom in and out if I bother to install the drivers on my keyboard.
Yeah.
I can't bother.
So yeah, it's quite good because it means I can draw and I've got a button to turn into the little hand so I can move the picture around if I'm zoomed in. I've got one for constraints for vertical, horizontal and diagonal drawing lines. So as soon as you start drawing it, no matter where you do with the...
It will hold it as a straight line.
Yeah, in that position. I've also got the ink dabber, so I could like colour in something and go, oh, I want some of that ink, so I click there and I could take some ink colour from wherever and then carry on colouring in.
Windows XP, Windows Vista has a similar tool built in.
Also the fact that I can click on another one and it'll allow me to go to the...
Well, Windows XP Tablet PC Edition 2005, let me clarify. And Windows Vista Home Premium Ultimate.
The arrow grabber, which allows me to grab layers and
items. No, even Home Basic has it.
Yeah, runs completely on XP, Vista, and Mac.
Mac what?
Mac OS 10.
Which versions?
I think it starts off at 10.2 upwards.
Ouch.
So I'm on 10.5. And
I'm on
10.4.
Actually, I'm running Windows Vista, which is equivalent to like Mac OS 11. Can your Mac do this? Yes.
Yes.
I'm just drawing a picture.
Drawing a picture of something that actually looks like a bed from here.
It was originally supposed to be a shoe, but it got a bit elongated down here. I'll make it into a scary face.
So yeah, the pen's really nice to use. You can get lots of different style pens for it. It's got the rubber on the end. The other good thing about it is that these models, because they're actual professional grade, which are used in industry, you can get the airbrush, which you don't actually touch on it. You actually just slide your hand and move as you...
You use an Nintendo DS and you go into the microphone.
So yeah, if you've got an airbrush for it. The great thing about these ones, they've got tilt built into them. So it actually knows where the pen is. If you're leaning over to the left, to the right, forwards, backwards, and changes...
Suited main.
Changes the brushes... for it, because at the moment I bought myself a copy of Coral Painter 10, which works well.
You can with all Wacom tablets, because the little electromagnetic sensor in the pen isn't where the nib is, it's up behind the nib, so you can see.
Yeah, my old one didn't really do anything like that, but this one, absolutely amazing with that. You can also buy marker pens for it as well.
What, so you can vandalize your screen?
So it's got a thick, real thick nib, and it picks up off the angle how much is touching on it, so that you really get that nice... So if you're doing art, like design work, where you're sketching something out and then you're colouring it in with, like you would with marker pens, where you're doing the whole... Like you have coloured marker pens where you put a line across, you get a faint line, but if you go over again it goes darker, so it allows you to put where lighting and shading is and stuff. So it's really cool for doing that. Quite like that. Very good toy. Bloody expensive, you know. If you're into like doing artwork and you post on DeviantArt and stuff like that, it's a really good tool to use. But
don't promote other websites. You only promote one website here.
GamerCast!
Or my blog. Or your blog, which you ain't posted to in like over 2 years. The last post was when the Burning Crusade came out.
Maybe I'll do a post when the Wrath comes out.
No, forget it. Don't bother. Because the Burning Crusade one doesn't even have a title.
I might just ask you to wipe all my history off and not start again.
I can blow your blog away if you want.
That's
no trouble to me at all. I just hit a button.
Okay.
It's this button under my desk. Adam self-destruct.
Boom. But yeah, I'm really happy with it.
So Adam likes it, and any art nerd should get it.
Definitely recommend.
What am I going to write? Doing gamer cams. Doing. Do you like my writing with my mouse?
Yeah, you really want to get
I think the tablet would work a bit better. Doing.
Yeah. You want to get yourself a little Wacom tablet on the side just so you can.
Screw that. I've got probably a good one behind the screen there. It's not like I ever would use it for anything. Oh, I'd use it for my drawings, my stupid drawings I draw in Paint, the best program.
Your new Paint upgrade. When's that coming out?
With Windows 7. Gamer. Well, Windows Codename 7, should I say.
Windows Codename 7?
Yeah. If they actually call it 7, I'll be pissed off.
What is this?
Hmm?
Is this an upgrade to Vista or.
New version of Windows?
A Windows new operating system?
Yeah.
They didn't stay with Windows Vista very long, did they? How long has Vista been out?
I've been running it 2 years. 2 years at RTM. I've been running it 2.5 years.
How long has it been out since retail?
It'll be 2 years this January. Or 2 years this November. Windows 7 will be 2010.
2010. Okay. Next question is...
Well, I really hope they could put it off 2009. Because I've been running this for 3-4 years now. I'd like something new. Although Windows 7, the reason I don't want them to call it Windows 7 is because the whole underneath of it is just Windows Vista.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything majorly with the kernel or anything like that. Obviously, because they've only just redone it all with Windows Vista, so it's not that they redo it all again.
So, best way to...
Because the Windows kernel is NT6.
Would you say it's similar to... Because obviously XP was... quite a lot different from like 98 and ME to a point.
Dude, it was a whole new operating system.
Yeah, so
it was NT5.
Yeah, so you put that into one little box, Vista in another little box, and then over here you've got like 95, 98 and ME, which were pretty much, would you say the way that they've evolved is the same as how this has gone from Vista to 7 sort of thing, where it's the same thing but it's been changed slightly. Whether it's like not done too much to the kernel.
The thing is, they shouldn't call it Windows 7 because it would. They cannot possibly bump the kernel version up to number 7. That would be too artificial. The kernel version, I think, should be Windows 6.1. They should not call it Windows 7. But all the work they're doing is on top, all the higher level stuff.
Right.
So, for example, they've redone the calculator application. They've redone the Paint application. They've redone WordPad. They stripped out Photo Gallery, Movie Maker, and all that and put that into Windows Live. So yeah.
Cool.
I mean, the thing is, Vista has a bad rep, completely unwarranted. So all they have to do is change the name, and boom, here's Windows Vista. Nobody knows it's Windows Vista, so everyone likes it. But I mean, they've only just, like, you know, the Windows Display driver model. Those drivers, how can you improve it? You can only do really an incremental improvement at this stage because the whole driver is in user mode, apart from a tiny little bit which is still in kernel mode.
Mm.
So you know. And it's not like the computers at the moment, you know, they don't want something which can scale to really high-end computers because that's not where the market's going. The market is going low-end, cheap shit computers. So there's no point in scaling the operating system up to make use of the extra power when, you know, hardware isn't really getting much better.
Yeah. We'll get there one day.
One day with what?
To the upscale.
Oh, well, we use the extra power, obviously, but, you know...
We've got to the point now where computers come with at least a gig of RAM, and they do come with
an operating system isn't going to use the whole system. This, and in the other hand, will use the whole system, which is of course an Epic game, which actually is on two discs, but I don't know what's on the second disc because I didn't want it during the install. But we're talking about Crisis Warhead, which I actually have in my hand in a minute.
Yeah. So yeah, Wacom tablet, really cool. Star Wars Force Unleashed, got around to having a play on it.
So yeah, I don't know if you know about they're getting rid of Vista quickly because it's still 4 years.
Yeah.
And Microsoft said they wanted releases every 2 years, so...
And
if they put it off in 2009, that's still 3 years.
Have they still hinted to the fact that they're going to be... This one will be the first Windows operating system that won't come on a disc? Because you're on about this when Vista came out.
Won't come on a disc? How are you going to fucking install it?
Well, no, you're on about that. They were on about it being download. You wouldn't buy it in a shop. You would have to get it from Marketplace, download it.
Oh, well, you can do that with Windows Vista if you want.
Yeah, but you were saying that they were on about that the next one, Vista would have been the last one you could go into PC World and buy it off the shelf, sort of. You think they're going to go back and do it again?
Dude, I'm not downloading a fucking... I'll download it anyway, because I'll get a pre-release version.
Yeah.
And I'll get the bits as soon as they're available. Instead of waiting in like 2 months to get the actual physical copy. But, you know... The fault line is, for 95% of people, they don't buy Windows. It just comes on a PC.
Yeah.
And computer manufacturers don't give you a Windows disk anyway, unless you buy, you know, unless you specify for that particular option, which they usually charge you more money for. Mm. They just give you a like a factory reset partition, which will blast the other partition out, reinstall the factory settings.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, because the factory settings are crap, and they come with fucking McAfee or Norton antivirus, which means the computer sucks.
Yeah.
Antivirus. The way to make your computer suck. I've not run antivirus on my main system now for three and a half years. And look how many viruses I have running. Only 12. Oh wait, that's not a virus, that's a messenger. Hi.
Shall I go on my review now?
Yep. We're now going to listen to Adam's Star Wars Force Unleashed review. I'll just put a little note in here about Windows. Windows is Yemen.
I have not.
Oh,
yet.
Dude, did you see the I'm a PC adverts? Did I show you those last week?
No.
Oh, God, I didn't show you anything last week, did I?
No.
We were talking about Warhammer, that's why. Here we go. Here's one of the adverts.
I'm a PC, and I am not alone.
I'm a PC.
I'm a PC, and so is my mom.
And these are my grandchildren.
I'm a PC, and I teach them.
I'm a PC.
Oui.
Yo también.
Hola.
What?
I'm a PC. I'm a PC.
I'm a PC, just like BJ.
We're all a PC, inseparably one.
You got a problem with that?
That's their response to Apple's childish advertising, which I think is really well done, because it would be so easy to fall into the trap of being like Apple and, you know, just wailing on the other, you know, guys. So that's
Their response to, hi, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC.
Well, yeah, because it's introduced by a guy who looks like, you know, the bloke who plays
and I am not alone,
who plays the PC guy.
Yeah.
And then it goes on about all these other people who are PCs. But yeah, there's actually several different versions of the ad as well. There's one where he says, I'm not a stereotype. But I don't think I've got that here, have I? Yes, my mess. Let's just hide it all.
Yeah. Go away. So,
but the really cool thing with the campaign they're doing is you can upload your own videos of saying why you're a PC. Which I thought was cool, which is, you know, I think that those series of ads really demonstrate why Apple is such a bitchy little company. Is it Microsoft? Windows? And then they say Windows is bloated. iTunes installer is 200 fucking megabytes. What the fuck? The Windows Media Player 11 installer on Windows XP is 64 megabytes. Yeah, they think Windows is bloated. Check out iTunes. 200 meg, and it's like there's 7 installers inside the main installer for like Bonjour, what do they call it? Mobile Me, iTunes, QuickTime, that stupid other crap they bundle on it, of the Apple Update program. It's like, what the hell? Oh, God, so yeah, Apple really suck.
How do you mind reviewing, or are you going to keep bantering?
Star Wars review, I'll review it for you, it's shit. Right, next item. Okay, carry on. Oh, shut up, honest.
Do you want to take your fist and bite on it for half an hour? Yeah, Star Wars Force Unleashed, I have not yet got to a level that... Don't go red. I have not yet got to
I'm
going to
explode.
A level that's all buggy or anything yet.
So it's not buggy yet?
No.
That's good, because the game I'm going to review has bugs.
Supposedly,
like when the bloke got stuck behind the flipping tree and wouldn't move.
Supposedly it gets really buggy on one of the later levels and makes it really hard to complete and takes quite a while, but it is possible. It is quite a good hack and slash run around game. It's not as amazing as they made out to be. The engines are
not as amazing as it made out to be. Who saw that coming?
Me. The engines work really. Both of them work really well together, and sometimes
engines.
The two physics engines, the one that they're using for everything being moved around with the force, and then how things get disfigured and destroyed when using force power.
Oh, yeah. So
it looks really good, but the problem is you're so busy playing the game that you just think it's normal and you don't start appreciating it as much. One thing that it would have really, really done well with is similar thing that they did with Star Wars Episode 3, where that was an alright run-round hack-and-slash game. You got a lightsaber, a few force powers, and you destroy as many people as you can get your hands on.
It's very nice.
but it had the ultimate multiplayer lightsaber beat 'em up added on. So it was the same engine, but they just swung the camera around and fixed it there and said, right, you fight him with a lightsaber, here's the system, we're using the same engine from the end battles that you would fight against whoever with the lightsaber.
Question. Does Star Wars Force Unleashed have multiplayer?
Only on the Wii, and the reason why they bundled it with the Wii was because these two engines that they're using aren't existing in the Wii, because the Wii can handle it. The engines are only available on PS3 and Xbox, which meant that the PS3 and Xbox didn't have multiplayer, which I can't understand. I still don't get it. I think it's because
Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 with multiplayer.
Yeah. Story wise, as a Star Wars fan, it's really gripping. I do like it. As a Star Wars fan playing a Star Wars game, I think I could probably play it through a couple of times just for the fact I like having a game where I can just run around, I've got force powers, I've got a lightsaber. Oh, there's a stormtrooper, I'll pick him up, throw the lightsaber through his chest, watch him die for a few seconds, and then I'll throw him at his mates. In mid-flight, I pull the lightsaber back out, force run over to him, chop up a few people, and then I explode an entire force push that knocks everything flying and everyone gets destroyed by everything they're hitting the wall with. Absolutely great for that. I found it a bit weird because I played the demo to death, and the demo is nothing like the actual game. The controls are slightly changed a bit. Basically, set the demo up to give you so many options so you could get a flavour of what it was like to play the game, but you realise that when you're doing the same level, which is one of the early ones, that you don't have...
You've been messing around with my computer.
You don't have force lightning or anything like that, so... that comes later, and some of the control system is slightly different, where you hold buttons and all of a sudden these new buttons appear, and it was a bit, you know, oh my god, this, it felt different. It did actually feel like a different game compared to the demo, so it took a while to get into it. But yeah, now and again I find it a bit hard to really swing around and attack someone, but it's one of those games you've got to practice at. A few people I've spoken to about it said it's not something they would actually go buy, they would want to rent it, because it, if you're playing it hardcore and you've got time to sit down and play it constantly, it is a quick game and it will be over quite quickly. The only thing you can do after you've finished it is the ability to revisit it when...
Look, dude, they changed the menu.
Yes, that's very nice. Revisiting, you can literally... Everything you level up, costumes, lightsaber, and force powers, you keep for the next time going through. So you can play the game from the beginning and you'll have whatever costume you want on, and coloured lightsaber and style of lightsaber, and all the way you customise your force powers and go through it again. But I imagine that once you've done that and you go through it one more time, you'll probably get bored of it, and an average gamer probably will find this game a one time run through.
Yeah, that's what I've generally heard at work.
Yeah,
you could do, I mean, some do try to do a second run, it's just meh.
I probably will keep it for a while.
But you're a Star Wars fan.
I'm a Star Wars fan. I like being able to run around with a lightsaber.
Plus, you really appreciate the physics engine. And you're like, yeah, let's do that. So what the game reminds me of is Red Faction.
Mm.
In that it's got this really cool technical implementation of Sonic, which
kind of
adds to the gameplay, but doesn't actually change the gameplay in any meaningful way.
Yeah, it's that in Red Faction there was this time where I walked around and there was this door that I had to get through, and the only way to get through it,
Red Faction is the game which had destroyable environments, by the way,
and there was this security hut, and there was this little slit, I would say probably about the width, you know, two heads width, you couldn't get through it as the game character, and there's a guard stood there, he started shooting at me, I spun round and did the ultimate manoeuvre, shot him right between the eyes, dropped down dead, and I realised I had to make him come out through the door because the door was locked and I couldn't get in. And I was like, right, okay, now I can't open this big blast door, I've got to quit, go back out, and then make him come back out again on the next go. And I thought, hang on, no, I'm playing Red Faction. Walk over here, pick up missile launcher, shoot it at the wall of this little miniature hut to the side of the door. Ooh, I've made my own door. I walk through, push the button, walk back out, and the big blast door's open. Yeah, now and again, they didn't allow you to do that sort of thing. I have this point where I've used a rocket launcher and I made my own tunnel and came in behind the bad guys and stuff like that. It's nice when they do it, but when it's, that's it, it does get a bit. It's a nice thing.
Well, I mean, they made the decisions to limit it where they did for gameplay reasons.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you could just tunnel your way through the level.
Yeah.
Assuming you've got enough grenades or missiles or whatever.
Multiplayer was quite fun doing that.
Yeah, multiplayer was a lot more...
Because they've done a similar thing. LucasArts brought out something called Fracture. I've not played the demo. Supposedly, it's not majorly that great. It kind of reminds me of Shadowrun a little bit with the way that it looks. But it's like combat changed, where literally you've got these grenades that can make the ground come up to a pillar, so you can stand on and get the high ground, or you can make it go down, so you've got the low ground, and you can change the terrain while fighting. Not entirely convinced. It's not... I don't know. The demo's out, and I'm going to have a download of it and see what it's like, to see if I actually like it. But yeah, Star Wars storyline, absolutely great. The great thing about it is, first level, you actually is before the apprentice becomes Darth Vader's apprentice. You see how he becomes Vader's secret apprentice. So the first level, you actually play as Darth Vader, which is quite cool.
Oh yeah, Darth Vader, what a noob.
So you're on.
He's so dead.
On Kashyyyk, fighting the Wookiees. So you battle a few Wookiees and stuff, which is quite cool.
Oh yeah, killing Wookiees can be lucky.
But yeah, no, it's revisiting some of the storyline and stuff like that, and they got quite a good thing from.
Oh no, it's the boogeyman.
Right. Now and again, you have to realise that, there's banging on his wardrobe door, and whenever I open it, the cat comes out. And then the cat is going to procedurally continue to rub itself up and down my leg.
Get rid of the cat, hang on.
Bye, cat. With your fluffy bottom. It looks like it's got baggy jeans on. Paul owns a really fluffy cat that looks like the cat from Dr. Evil. And now he's sat in the corner staring at me. Paul, I just want to pick it up and then stroke it and go, "So, Mr. Bond." Scratching the floor is not going to get it to come out.
Right. Let's try the laser pen. I can't pick it up because it will attack me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a vicious cat. No, on the floor. Look at the floor.
It will always look at where... Oh, we found the laser pen. Nope.
Oh.
You're going to have to leave it in here. Don't shoot the cat. It's a big ball of fluff.
No, it's not. It's a vicious, evil cat.
It's a white lion.
It's a good job you've got shoes on.
The cat likes me.
It would attack your feet. That's what Catherine said. The cat likes me, and then it bit her feet.
So yeah, I would definitely recommend play the demo, but it depends what you want to buy. If you've got spare money.
So you've got 40 quid to throw away on a quick game which you'll finish and then get bored with.
Yeah, I traded in quite a lot of games to get it, but there were games I weren't playing on as much and I just wanted something different, and I don't get to play on my games consoles that much. I pick up, play for a bit, then put down again. So for me, it's going to last me a while because of the amount of time I'll get to be able to play on it. And I imagine I'll revisit it quite a few times before I get bored of it. So yeah, I'm quite liking it. At the moment, I'm on the third, over halfway through the third level. So far, I would say out of five, as a gamer, I would give it a scrape into the 3 box out of 5. Looks nice, plays brilliantly, but for a game that was so well thought of, it could have had more. It could have had multiplayer. It could have had a lot more brought into it compared to the fact of what they've done with, like, the Jedi Knight series with Outcast and Academy and all of those games that have come before it.
Yeah, let's leave the cat in here.
It's sharpening its claws. It compared to other Star Wars games, it had a lot to live up to, and the only thing that this was based around, which it did well, was the Force powers. The Force powers work absolutely amazingly, and you've got them all in all different shapes and sizes. Absolutely great. Love it. As a Star Wars fan, I definitely give this 4 out of 5. Just for that. It's left. Shut the door quick before it comes back in.
It's tails in the way. Right, crisis over.
Yes. So
what? Three
out.
Just about scrapes a 3 out of 5.
As a game for a gamer. As me as a Star Wars fan, I give it 4 out of 5. There could definitely be more in it for Star Wars content and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I quite liked it. But I'll at later shows I will say how I feel about it. Maybe it'll change or not. Like we did with Spore, first impressions and then second impressions. So I'm going to play a little bit more, see how far I get through, and then I'll make my decision a bit later on.
Word pound.
Nice. So you want to talk about...
Yes, as I mentioned last week, I'll be reviewing Crisis Warhead this week. So I've been playing Crisis Warhead for a few hours this week. And I'll get the score down out of the way. 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for a few technical issues, it would be 5 out of 5. But it has issues.
Okay.
Number one, I installed it. Fair enough. Install went through. Great. And then something happened and I had to do something. What was it? I forgot. But there was something in the installer bugged me.
You said last week when you installed, because you didn't go as far as installing it, you had some serious issues getting it to work because it wouldn't change to the right screen and it kept it locked or something like that. You had some issues with the interface on the first go once you installed it.
Yeah, what was it then?
You couldn't get...
Oh, that was it. I installed it. Ran the game, EA logo came up, great. EA logo not skippable. All the other logos are, fair enough. Main menu came up. I had my mouse, but I couldn't reach the down buttons on the side to click on anything. So the mouse would like only move across the right-hand side of the screen, and it wouldn't move over to the left where the buttons are. But after moving the mouse around for a bit, I found I could hover over the right part of the screen and still make the buttons on the other side highlight. So I did that, I sorted that out. That went away after I changed the resolution and, you know, all that. And all the graphic settings to put them up to the gamer mode, which is equivalent to, like, high. And that disappeared. So I've not run into that since, but it's still got the annoying bug where it insists on running in a windowed mode instead of full screen. So you have to hit Alt-Enter to turn it into full screen mode when you first run it, which is a bit irritating. Especially because Crysis had the same fracking problem and they haven't fixed it. You know, I've got the thing in the settings, full screen. That means you run in full screen.
Yeah, it still goes in Windows mode.
Yeah, so that's a bit annoying, but we had that with Crysis. Other technical issues, the AI isn't perfect. When you came up here, I was playing on it then, and one of my dudes was stuck behind a tree on the other side of the map, and he wouldn't budge. He was just there running into the tree. So there's a few annoying issues like that. Overall, the AI is a lot better. I've not had a chance to really examine the alien AI because that really pisses me off. But against the Koreans, they're a lot more, they will try and flank you more and then they'll attack and you move back.
I think you probably would enjoy this game more if you went in, you did your mission, and then they pulled you back out and then you went somewhere else and you did your mission with these suits on and there were no aliens to attack. I got the feeling the alien bit bugs you.
I mean, it does. There's a few reasons for that. Now, generally, I like games where I'm not facing human opponents because it mixes it up a bit. So in Crysis, you've got a few different opponents. You've got 2 or 3 different types of aliens you face. And you've also got 2 or 3 different, depending on how you want to classify it, Korean soldiers you face. Mm. So you have Korean soldiers in nanosuits like yourself who can cloak and all that. Same in Crysis 1 as well. There are a few cases where you had to fight them, and they're bitches to take down. Because obviously they've got all the same stuff as you. They can cloak and run away and all that sort of stuff. So that's irritating. The regular Korean soldiers I find are fun to fight, because they do work well in teams, and you do see them trying to organize to try and get you. You know, there's one mission where you have to infiltrate a base, and there must be 50 Korean soldiers throughout the whole base. It's a large base, so, you know, 50, there's... everywhere. I jumped over the wall to get in, and their response when I was detected is I was trying to sneak into a building. That failed miserably. But, you know, I saved that for another day. But, you know, they responded well. They were all on, like, alert, and, you know, they were all running around trying to find me. That was cool. Stop looking at your watch.
I'm just glancing because I can't... I'm not wearing my glasses, so I can't see the one on the screen.
Cheeky bastard. So that's cool. But the aliens... because they're flying aliens. I do not like flying opponents because they're irritating.
Yeah.
I like opponents which don't move around a lot. Now, some people say, oh, he's not very good at it. I don't care if I'm not very good at it, I'm not, because you have to track the bastard as he flies everywhere. I would rather give him twice as many hit points and make it slow. Like a zombie or an eight, like in Doom or something like that, where, you know, they're not flying around. Other than the stupid flying ones, which are a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm playing it on the harder difficulty level, so it's like a real, you know, I can't go messing around for a second or I'll get pwned. Stupid nano suit. Piece of crap. The alien only needs to get a couple of hits on me and I'm dead. And that's a pain in the butt since they can move a hell of a lot faster than me. Unless I turn my armor off, which leads me to sit and duck and run around like a loony. So yeah, you get into contact with the aliens much sooner than you did with Crisis, which has concerned me a bit. So hopefully, I'm hoping that a lot of the negative feedback they got about how shit the aliens were, which are like these blue octopus things which fly around. I don't want to shoot a blue octopus.
Yeah.
Especially one which flies.
Because they kept it all very hush-hush of what it was about, really, Crisis.
Yeah, they kept the alien stuff. I mean, people knew about it when the reviews came out, but it wasn't widely talked about that there's going to be... Well, I mean, everyone knew there was going to be aliens, but we didn't know anything really about them. All the screenshots, all the videos all showed the Koreans. So I don't like fighting the aliens, really, but... So, you know, I'm a little bit torn on that. Hopefully there'll be more engagements against the Koreans later on in the game, and this alien bit will just be in the middle just to fill out the story, because it is... This game is called Crisis Warhead, and it's called Crisis Warhead for a reason. There is a story plot behind all that. So that's Kiel. Gameplay-wise, it plays similar to Crisis. It is a bit faster pace. Like, in Crisis, you had a lot of downtime.
Compared to Crisis, where you explain, you know what happens at the ending, you just couldn't get there because of a bug.
Yes, a bug, which I will nail. But the trouble is, you have to put the disc in. Crisis Warhead, you don't, so...
Oh, it's straight off the box. No disc needed.
Online activation.
Sweet. Okay, next question is... Are you back off the island and you're going back in as a new mission, or is it carry on as in...
I'm not 100% sure, because I take it I'm missing something from Crisis. I'm not sure if it's the same island or not.
Right.
You're playing as a different character. You're playing as one of us. What's the bloke name in Crisis? I want to say Finding Nemo, but it's not.
But yeah, you play as... It says on the back of the box, you play as...
You play as Psycho, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nomad, that's how you play as in Crisis, but he's not here. You're playing a Psycho, which was one of which was in Nomad's like squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a bit faster paced. Weapons are all basically the same. They look different, they've been remodeled a bit, well, retextured, should I say. Graphics wise, performance is a lot better. So, you know, I mean, frame rate wise, I say 50% plus in performance terms. Why they can't port those performance terms back into Crisis, I don't know. Why they can't fix all the bugs in Crisis, I don't know, but never mind. But yeah, I will finish Crisis, but it's just a question of going over there and getting the CD out, which is annoying.
Have you had a go on the multiplayer yet?
There's no multiplayer in Crisis Warhead.
Really? We thought there was multiplayer, but...
Well, there's no multiplayer option in the menu, so... I imagine... Well, yeah, it does say on the back here, includes Crisis... Oh, it includes Crisis Wars. That's probably on the separate disc, which I haven't installed yet.
Let's have a look at the disc.
I haven't even got it out to look at it. Yeah, that's Crisis Wars on the second disc, so I haven't installed that. So that seems like just like a multiplayer version of Crisis. So we'll see what that's like. It's got a few different game modes and things like that, according to the box. Yeah, what else? There's a few gameplay... Well, a few design niggles I have. There was one bit where you're in a hovercraft and you're chasing after this bloke. And... it's a huge environment you're chasing him around in, so you're not sure if you've gone the right path or not, because he's too far up ahead to see him. So, I felt a bit lost for a bit, because you're not... I came up against this cliff... And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to get out the hovercraft or if I'm supposed to find a way around in the hovercraft to get up on the road, which is on the top of the cliff. So I was a bit confused there, and the mission controller person who's talking to you during the missions doesn't tell me what to do. So I'm a bit confused there. So I drove around in the hovercraft, couldn't find another way up. So eventually I power jumped up the cliff. That was a bit confusing there because you weren't sure what's going on. I mean, have I gone the wrong way?
You need a few tails to...
Yeah, like if they said get out the hovercraft, it wouldn't be so bad because I know, okay, this is probably the right thing to do. But I was a bit confused there. A bit after it, you're fighting all these alien things with your squad mates and they're clueless to what they're supposed to be doing. You know, they get stuck, they get left behind, and it's it's like, I'm probably about maybe a third of the way through so far. So I should hopefully have more details next week about how the game progresses, and hopefully this alien shit won't last much longer.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is something worth tolerating considering the rest of the game when you're fighting the Koreans.
It's pretty
or as I call them, the Americans. These people are really Americans. It's actually quite good.
Sweet.
4 out of 5, like I said. Highly recommended to anyone who got Crysis. If your computer was a bit slow running Crysis, this is like I said, a lot faster at running. It's fast enough, I'm tempted to push it up to 1920 by 1200.
And also if someone...
Oh, it's crashed twice, by the way.
Okay. And also for someone who... What's the spec difference between that and Crysis?
I don't bother looking at specs anymore because they don't really tell you anything.
Mm. No, I just wondered if someone couldn't get Crysis running very well, would they have a problem with this?
Well, I'll just have a look.
Just for the fact that you don't need Crysis to run this game.
You need a 256 megabyte graphics card for Crysis. Doesn't say on here. But it says you do need a NVIDIA GeForce 6800 GT or higher, or a Radeon X800 Pro or higher. Supports DirectX 10. So yeah, according to this it says 1 gig of RAM, but on this one it says 1 gig for XP, 1.5 gig for Vista. CPU, same CPUs, like, you know, 3.2 gigahertz for Vista, 2.8 for Vista, which is Pentium 4 equivalent, so any modern CPU can handle that. I don't even know why people bother listing it in the Pentium 4. Who has a fucking Pentium 4 nowadays? They don't even say it's Pentium 4, but it's gotta be. It's just got a 3.2 gigahertz CPU.
Yeah.
Nobody, unless you're running a Pentium 4.
Yeah, which is what I've got.
So yeah, I just ignore systems specs. I mean, the Windows Performance Index it needs is... Crysis wants a 3, but a 5 is recommended. Crysis Warhead is the same. But it does run at a better frame rate.
What are you running at?
My system's 5.3.
I think mine's 5.1.
That's limited by the CPU in mine.
Can't remember what mine's limited by.
But my graphics is 5.9 on both. So that's cool. Is there anything cool in here? Ooh, a link to the save games. That's fun. God, it doesn't. I flipping hate it when games do that. They put the save games in a documents folder. You're in trouble now.
Yeah.
Okay.
When she hung up, she pressed one of the keys buttons. All I got was like,
yeah. Adam's got pizza, but we're pretty much done. So.
Right, it's Vegeta's, and she was going Vegeta's yum yum.
Oh,
yum,
was
yum.
She? Okay, I couldn't hear very well because it's on your phone.
Yeah. So yeah, Crysis is good. I like the fact that you don't need to have
the original one because it's only £20.
Yeah, so say for instance you were around your mate's house and you were constantly playing his copy, you completed it and you're like, I want to get Crysis, but I can't be able to spend that money on that game because I've already completed it, but I like playing multiplayer. Now I've just bought myself a brand new PC that can actually run it. You could go out and buy this expansion pack, you know, don't worry about the original Crysis, you've already completed on your mate's computer, you could go out and buy this one, play it and still play multiplayer. I will be curious to see whether the multiplayers are connectable, where if you install the multiplayer for that on a computer that could, say, that one would run it.
Of course that computer, you cheeky bastard.
That one would run it.
Yeah, that runs... I've got Crysis on there.
Okay, so I'd be curious to see...
I did multiplayer with Catherine.
I'd be curious to see if you put that Crysis multiplayer on one, and you have the Crysis you know,
I'll find out and for next week.
See if they're actually compatible, whether or not it's a completely new multiplayer system and you can't run between the two. That'd be quite interesting. Right. Right, well, I've got to go out for my dinner.
We back normally Sunday?
Yes.
Good. We'll be back Sunday for episode 135, where I'll finish the review of Crysis, like the rest of how it pans out. And Adam will talk about...
Whatever I get my hands on. I'm curious.
Okay, so he hasn't got a clue at the moment.
No.
Good.
At some point, I'm going to go back in and revisit Warhammer Online, just for my view of what it's like now I've played it for a while.
Yeah. We'll have to see about that, won't we?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll catch you all next week.
Yeah. Catch you later.